Then I'll begin. How many of you know that if we choose to listen to God's word, to read God's word, to worship his name, to understand that we are earthen vessels, that there's times where people could look and say, well, there's a crack, there's a flaw, but God takes the things that are cracked and flawed and he takes the things that are not and he makes them as if they are. What I mean by that is he uses people like you and me. And I have started to look at a message, and I want to give a small explanation for why I'm ministering on this particular subject, so that you can understand. Because so often, like, I'll talk to Susan and she'll go, what are you talking about? Because I think she knows what I'm thinking and she doesn't. Well, not all the time anyway. And so often my mind is two steps ahead of what my mouth is saying. And when I speak, I think, well, you should know. We're doing this. And we started to look at the power of God. And I've been in church now. I've been a Christian for, this will be 35 years coming now. And I remember those songs, Emma, when I was a young Christian. That was what I would be singing. And there is a foundation that we should build upon. There is the blood of Jesus that still speaks today. And in my short life as a Christian, I've witnessed the good and the not so good. And what I've struggled with, I want to share to us, with us as a church, so that you understand the heart behind the message, so that we can not throw the baby out with the spiritual bathwater. And when we think about the power of God, it's so easy just to think about the Pentecost side of the power of God. And as I've looked at this subject, I wanted to bring part one and part two of the Spirit of God lives in us, but then there's an empowering of the Holy Spirit. And when we look through scripture and when we look through history, we see that dunamis in a way that we don't experience today. And I believe that if the Bible is the same, yet might you've confused me, you're on the other side. Thrown me. When we look at scripture, it's so easy for me to say, Lord, you did it then, and if you're the same, you can do it now. And I've looked at this subject, and what has concerned me is I have to realize, and I want you to, that God uses imperfect people to bring a perfect message. He uses people who are flawed. He uses people who don't seem to walk the way that we think they should walk, and they don't do the things we think they should do. And yet God still pours out his power. How can that be? Because his word is truth. His word is truth. But how much more can we see that power at work if we do walk according to God's plans and purposes? If we do keep short accounts with each other, we do keep short accounts with those around us, we do strive to be good in marriages. If we're married, that we try to bless and encourage our opposite. We do. Can you imagine what would happen if we had that grounding of understanding the fullness of God's beauty, the fullness of his power? So last week I ministered on the power of a quiet life. And it's so easy to miss the power in a quiet life, that there will be people that will take note that you go to church. And there are times that I've heard stories, I don't know if you have, of people. There was one story I heard of a teacher that used to walk around the corridors with this big King James Bible under his arm going, I'm a Christian, and yet his life and his attitude was not Christian. So when people looked at him, they saw what they thought a Christian was, and that was untrue. Yes, we are broken, yes, we are flawed, but we serve a God that is perfect. So last week I ministered on power of a quiet life, and if we look at the dynamis of the Holy Spirit, as a Christian, a young Christian, I want to see God's power work. And I wanted him to use me. Was you the same? Oh, there's signs, wonders and miracles. Yet there was things in my life that I didn't want God to change. And on my journey through the twists and the turns, I understand what power is. It's the Spirit of God working through me on a daily basis. But there is a time, and there is times that God chooses to indwell someone in a way that they can push the pillars and they can wipe out the enemy just in one fell swoop. That there's a time where when you look at men and women in the Bible, it says, and the Spirit of God came upon them and Goliath was slain. There's things that we do on a daily basis that we take for granted, but there is power in it. And today, I want to speak about the power of forgiveness. Because we might not think there's power in forgiveness, but there is power in forgiveness. If we want to, well, I want to see God's dunamis work within our church in a way that we've never experienced. I want it to be where, you know, we lay hands on the sick and they recover, not because of us, but because of God and His word. I want us to be in a situation where we pray and we see things move in the heavenlies in a way that they've never moved before. But I want God to trust us. I want God to know that if the lost and the lonely and the vulnerable come in, it's part and parcel of who we are to be kind, to be welcoming, to speak the truth but speak it in love, to say, yes, we are sinners, but we are saved by grace. Yes, we get things wrong, but God forgives us. And I want us to understand, if possible today, the power of forgiveness in a way that we've not looked at it before. And there's a particular story that I want to read, a truth in the Bible that I've read it and I've reread it. And the Lord spoke to me in a way that makes sense to me, and I hope it will make sense to you too. But let's get there by starting in the Psalms. Psalm 130, verse 3. If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, so that we can with reverence serve you. If God kept a record of our sins, you know, there's a time in our lives, I think maybe most of us have been there. I certainly have, where I would make this statement. I would say, I'm right and they're wrong. And that's the truth of it. I was right and they was wrong. If it was a court of law, they would be convicted because I'm right and they're wrong. So the next question is, so why should I forgive them? And the answer is because I forgave you. You see, if God kept a record of my sins, I couldn't stand, nor could you. So there is power in forgiveness. Now, forgiveness is a subject that many Christians struggle with over the years because they think that, why should I let that person off when they've grieved me? You're not letting anybody off. There's a thing called justice, and it says, leave it to the Lord. So you keep short accounts with each other, you keep short accounts with Him, let Him deal with that situation. You know, why should you forgive? Because you've been forgiven. That's the answer. We could finish there, but I've prepared all week, so it would be a shame not to share what God has placed on my heart, wouldn't it? I'm just trying to get my watch in the position that I can see how long we're ministering for. In Matthew 26, this is my blood of the covenant which was poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. You see, there's a scripture, it says, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. And when you look through the Old Testament, you'll see there was a law that there had to be a shedding of blood in order for there to be an atonement, as if that sin has been atoned for, been paid for. So there would be an animal that was sacrificed, there'd be a scapegoat that was released to pay the penalty of sin. And yet, Jesus Christ, which is the Son of God, God came in a person to pay with His blood for me and for you. Happy days. But it doesn't end there. We need to acknowledge it. And we need to understand that it's a new covenant. It's a new covenant that we can lay hold of. But it was poured out for the forgiveness of sins. And that's why Jesus came, to save us from our sins, to bring that bridge together, to be that bridge which will unite humanity with God, that we can walk over Him in order to get to our Heavenly Father. And when we talk about heaven and we talk about hell, I had a conversation with Susan in the car, and I don't understand what's going to happen. That's a thing for me and Mike to look at some point. What is going to be the new heaven and the new earth? How are we going to be? I don't know at this moment in time, but I know this, that if heaven is good and hell is bad, I want to be in heaven. Do you? Yes. And I want as many people that I know to be there too. But this is the hard thing in life. It's choice, isn't it? The Bible says, I lay before you life and death. Choose life. It's simple, isn't it? I just recently, I've watched some things on TV, and I've had some testimony of people that I know that are being given a poor diagnosis on something, and I've seen some things on TV to do with abuse, and it saddens me, and it's starting to get to me where I see it and I'm going, Lord, but you know, we have choices. And I don't understand how somebody who can have a terminal illness, who's going to die, cannot acknowledge that there might be a saviour. I don't understand, but it's their choice, isn't it? You know, someone else said this, not me, but I'll repeat it. God does not send anybody to hell. They choose to go. There I lay before you, heaven and hell, life and death. Choose life. And so I want to bring a message about the power of forgiveness. In Mark 1:4, it says this. So John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. He was the forerunner. He was the one preparing the way. Prepare the way for the one that is to come. And he said himself, I'm baptizing you for repentance, but one will come after me that will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. There is something that God does in our lives when we ask for forgiveness. He comes in and we are born again of his Spirit. But there is more. There is more that God can do in us. And forgiveness is part and parcel of our journey. I don't know about you, but when I became a Christian, those things didn't suddenly disappear. I didn't suddenly become more generous than what I used to be. I didn't suddenly be more forgiving than I did before. I didn't suddenly become calm and quiet. In fact, what happened was the very opposite. I used to say nothing. When Susan first met me, she thought, great, I've got the perfect potential husband. He doesn't drink, he doesn't smoke, he doesn't like football, he doesn't say much. I became a born-again Christian and I haven't shut up since. However, there was things in my life that needed to be knocked off. And when it comes to forgiveness, I have learned that there is power in forgiveness by keeping short accounts. Yes, legally, in a court of law, they would be convicted, but I'm choosing to forgive and let God bring the justice. So I want us to think about this whole area of power. And yes, I want to reassure you that I do believe in the dunamis of the Holy Spirit. I do believe there'll be a time where we will see the manifestation of God in a way that we have not witnessed. We've only seen it on TV or read it in books. How do I know that? Because God says that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He says to the man who's paralyzed, do you want to get well? Well, that's the same question we can ask for others today. Do you want to get well? There is wellness comes in different forms. There are people who will be in a wheelchair for the rest of their lives. All is well with their soul. You see, we see with our eyes, we don't always look with our heart. But there's times where God will have compassion on somebody. He will see that they have faith to get well, and he will touch them in a way that only healing can touch them. But there'll be others that will go through into eternity with that disability. But the Bible says that we are not to be defined by our disability, but be defined by our possibility. All things are possible. Only believe. In Luke 1, and you, my child, will be called prophet of the Most High. There's a plan and a purpose for all of us, not just John the Baptizer, not just John the Baptist, but for you. God calls you a son. He calls you a saint. He calls you a beloved. And if we will lay hold afresh of who we are and what God says about us, it's not about being boastful, but we can boast in the Lord, can't we? We can say, I am forgiven. I am a child of the living God. I am flawed. I get things wrong, but there is a power that's at work in me that gives me the ability to forgive you, because God has forgiven me. To give his people knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of sins. So often I've read this portion of scripture and I've not noticed that word knowledge. You see, knowledge can be dangerous, a little knowledge. We need to know the full knowledge of something. So a little bit of the gospel can be dangerous. We need to know the full gospel. Let me give you an example. There's power in these words. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever would believe in him would have life, and life in all its fullness. But it goes on in scripture to say, but if you deny him, then the lake of the abyss is yours. You see, there's power in the fullness of salvation. So we need to know the knowledge, understand the truth. So what is the truth? Jesus says, I am. So get to know him and then the rest will come. But there is power in forgiveness. And when I get to a certain portion of scripture I want to share with you, it's this one here. Jesus continued. We're talking about the lost sheep, the lost coin, and Jesus is trying to say something to us as we look through these parables. We can certainly say once we were lost, but now we've been found. Jesus came, he looked for us, he found us, he embraced us, he carried us. He rejoiced over us. But in this particular parable here, it says there was a man who had two sons. And I've read this portion of scripture many times, I've preached on it many times, but there's something I noticed this time that I've not noticed before. I may be being poetic, but if I can get a point across using the truth of this parable, then that will be good enough for me. The younger one said to the father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. So just think about this for a moment. There's two sons. Remember, the firstborn gets the double portion. The firstborn and the secondborn. The secondborn was the youngest. The youngest said, I want what's entitled to me. I don't want to wait until you die. I want it, and I want it now. And the father said, okay, I'll share. So there's your share, and here's yours. And off he went. Not long after that, the younger one got together all he had and set off for a distant country. And there he squandered his wealth. So when we look through this parable, this story, we kind of have an understanding that the father will know what the son is doing because he's keeping his eye on him. Or why would he be waiting for him to come back if he didn't understand what was going on in his life? And let's think about it. If the father knew, maybe the son knew, maybe all the hired hands knew, maybe there was a gossip going on that here's this son, he wanted what he wanted, he went off and he just squandered it. Just get the picture. Just think how you would feel. He squandered his wealth on wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country. He began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him into the field to feed pigs. This is a young Jewish boy feeding pigs. It was unclean. It was the lowest of the low. You know, when Jesus was with his disciples, and it says he took off his outer garment and he got a bowl and he knelt down and he washed their feet. Just imagine what he washed off of their feet. As they're walking on this dusty, and I'm not putting words into this, but this is part of the culture. They would just walk and they'd have open sandals and there would be filth and muck all over the place, and then maybe they walked through it. And Jesus humbled himself. He got down and he started to serve and he started to wash their feet. You see, there are certain things in scripture that's the low of the low, and washing feet was one of them. Feeding pigs. When he came to his senses, and I like this, when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am, starving to death. He saw the pods that he was feeding to the pigs, and he longed for them. There's times in our life where we can pray for people and say, Lord, you know, they've wandered off. They've squandered what you gave them. And now they're in the pig pen. Lord, I pray they come to their senses. But there's a way in which we can pray. We can either say to ourselves, well, they decided to go. They deserve everything they get. Or we can have this heart within us. We can have this softness within us that say, Lord, forgive them. Lord, I stand in the gap and I pray, Lord, that they would come to their senses. We could be like that father who's anticipating the coming home of the son, the coming home of the daughter. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and he went to his father. But while he was still a long way away, or a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. That's a word I want to bring to us, compassion. He wasn't full of bitterness. He wasn't full of anger. He was full of compassion. And I want to suggest to us, the power of forgiveness gives us the ability to be compassionate. Because as we choose to forgive others because God has forgiven us, we then start to forgive others because it's right to forgive. We don't just do it because God said it. We do it because we feel it. And we start to have compassion. Compassion for him. And he ran to his son. He threw his arms around him and he kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. He was looking for forgiveness. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. And there's times in our lives, and maybe someone who's listening to this online, there's times in your life that you don't feel worthy, yet you are still a child of God. And this is how he treats you and how he treats me, and why we should be compassionate towards others. Why there is power in forgiveness. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe. Not the old tatty one, the best robe, and put it on him. Put the ring on his finger and sandals on his feet, which indicates his feet was dirty, barefoot, he had nothing. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. There's the power of forgiveness right there. It causes us to be compassionate. Now let's look at the other son. I don't tend to speak about the other brother, the son that was left behind. Now just bear in mind, this son that was left behind wasn't forgotten about. He already was given his share of the inheritance. Everything was his. And his father was still alive. His father was his servant in one sense, because his father would rely on what the son was given, because the father gave everything he had. That's what that portion of scripture says. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants. He asked him, what was going on? Your brother has come. He replied, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So the father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you. Never disobeyed you. You didn't give me anything. Just picture this young man. See, there's, for me, when I looked at this scripture, there's a great illustration of the power of forgiveness and the power of unforgiveness. You see, the father had chosen to forgive his son, because when we look through that, he says, I have sinned against heaven and I've sinned against you. So there was an opportunity for the sinner to receive forgiveness. And yet you've got the older son was just full of resentment. So what's the difference? Well, one had compassion, the other didn't. And so often it could be Christians who they're in the vineyard for many, many years. They're toiling and they're striving. And there are some times that some Christians can feel so demoralized because they serve week after week. They give week after week, yet they have no recognition. Yet you get some young upstart. They come into church. They've been there 3 days. They're given all the privileges. Yet I've been serving for years, and yet you haven't even mentioned my name. You haven't even given me that little star that teachers give. Well done, good and faithful servant. But can you see that if God is testing us, he will bring things in our pathway. Do you trust me? Do you believe that I can do all things? As you walk and the road is dustier and dustier, as you start to lose some of the things that you thought you should have, as people start to err against you, how are we going to behave? I want to suggest that if we are like the Father in anticipation, when we pray, we believe our prayers are going to be answered. When our prayers are answered, we embrace. Doesn't matter what they've done. Yes, there are consequences for sin. There are. There are consequences. If somebody messes up, they'll pay the consequences. But as far as we're concerned, that's God's business. Even if someone has erred against you, even if someone has said something against you, there is power in being like the Father, and there is power in being like the Son. The Son had hardened his heart. He never had a heart of compassion. I would like to think that if there was something going on within my family, if one of my children had got into distress, that the others would be cheering them on. If suddenly there was somebody in my family that had an addiction and they suddenly got broke free of that addiction, we would celebrate. We wouldn't say, well, you deserved everything you got. You're the one that chose to drink. You're the one that chose to get on drugs. You're the one that chose to womanize. You're the one that chose to leave their husband, their wife. You deserve all you get. Or we can say, I've been praying for you. Now you're home. And you hug and you have a heart of compassion. And that heart of compassion comes from the fact that we as Christians can grab hold of what we deserve. And we deserve the wrath of God, but he's given us mercy. How much more should we give mercy to others? So let's not be like the older brother. Let's be like the Father. And let's walk in the power of forgiveness. In Matthew 6, verse 12. And forgive us our debts, as we also forgive our debtors. Now when we pray this prayer, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. You know, when we get to that point where we say, forgive us as we also forgive. Can you see there's a, God's forgiven us, we're not going to go to hell, but there's a heaven that we can walk in now if we choose to walk in forgiveness. And I want to caveat that forgiveness is not letting somebody off. Forgiveness is not allowing justice to take course. But what forgiveness does is this, it releases you. It releases you from that bondage. It releases you from that hard heart. It releases you from that, they deserve everything they get. It releases you by just going, Lord, I choose to forgive them. I'm giving them to you. You deal with them. You encourage them. You bless them. And as the blessing of God comes upon them, they will repent. They will receive. They'll put right. But there is power in forgiveness. As we forgive, we are forgiven. As Christians, we don't need to worry about are we going to heaven or not. We are. But there is still a heaven to walk on earth. There's still a freedom to walk in. And I want to suggest to us that there is power in forgiveness. I want to see the dynamis of the Holy Spirit work in a way that I've not experienced before. But I also want him to work in power through a quiet life. Through just simply doing what God has called me to do. Being that brother, that father, that son, being that servant, just picking up that litter, just making that drink, just giving those finances, just praying that prayer. I want to see the power in those things so that when the supernatural come in a way that we read about, it will be something that causes us to be overwhelmed with joy and anticipation, knowing that it's not us. One of the things that saddens me in church life is that there are many men and women who think that they're the healers, and they're not. You see, God called me to pray for a dying man once, and I realized at the end of it when he was still dead, I'm not the healer, it's God's the healer. He's the one that chooses to heal, but he causes us to pray. He calls us to pray. Yes, God does things without us praying. Yes, God knows what we need before we ask, so why should we ask? You know, this son needed to understand that he had erred, he had done wrong in order to receive the fullness of his inheritance. You see, you might think that he squandered everything he had. In the natural, he did, but he gained a lot more, didn't he? He understood what it was to be humbled. He understood what it was to be repentant. And he came back to the Father. And I'm sure he lived out the rest of his life being grateful for what the Father had done for him. Same as me and you. You know, we may have lost money. We may have lost peace. We may have lost friends. We may have lost loved ones, but we've gained so much more if we understand what God has done for us by shedding his blood and paying for our sins. Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother and my sister who sins against me? Up to 7 times fulfillment?" And Jesus says, "No, slap them about a bit." No, he didn't. He said, "No, 70 times 7. In other words, just keep forgiving. Yeah, but they've messed up again. Here's the thing. In this, we miss the fact that if my brother and sister comes back and says, "Please forgive me," forgive them. You see, is it once? Is it twice? How many times? How many times did I mess up? Did you mess up before we finally came to a position where we said, "Okay, Lord, I surrender. I'm yours. Forgive me. Forgive me." How many times after that prayer have we said, "Lord, forgive me"? 7? I think it's more like 70 times 7, isn't it? It's like most days. Most days, forgive me. You know, when I take communion, I make a point of going, "Lord, forgive me." And if someone overheard, they go, "What are you asking forgiveness for?" Just in case, I don't know, but I know I've messed up. "Lord, forgive me. Lord, help me." God, he's encouraging us here. He's saying, listen, never give up on others. You know, there are times in life where we may be tempted to give up on people. You know, there's times where we're asked to pray for someone. And we start praying and we start off in faith. We start believing. We see little glimmers of light. We see a changed life. And then suddenly it slips backwards. And sometimes we could be fooled in believing that, oh, what's the point? There's a point. Keep on praying. Keep on believing. You know, one of the things I want to encourage us as church is that if God has said it, he will do it. And the Bible does talk about his people, me and you, being tested. Not tested to a point where we end up being consumed by the fire, but tested in a way that our deeds are scrutinized. They're by fire, they're tested. Our motives of our heart are tested. So often we can be around people who say, "I will do this. I will do this and I will do that." And then when God tests them, that parable of the sower comes to light. You know, the cares of this world and they're gone. God is testing his people to see what survives. But he is always standing at the door of the house saying, "Come back. Come back." This forgiveness. And I want to suggest to us that when we lay hold of forgiveness, when we truly see the power of forgiveness, it will cause compassion to rise up in us. It will cause us to be what God's called us. Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven. That's you and me. Blessed, whose sins are covered. They're covered. And we go back to the blood. We've been covered by his blood. We've been covered by his grace. His love and his goodness has lavished us. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, in whose spirit is no deceit. See, God covers us so that we can cover others. We can't bring salvation, but we can share salvation. We can't save, but we can introduce people to the Savior. When we show compassion, there's story after story I could share, but time won't allow me. But there's been times in our life that we have lavished God's love on people and they can't handle it and they go. They can't handle grace. They can't handle love. They can't handle forgiveness. They cannot handle generosity. Now, God calls us to be generous. He calls us to be forgiving. He calls us to be compassionate. What others do with it is up to them. But if we don't grab hold of the power of forgiveness, then we won't walk in compassion, I don't believe. In the Psalms it says this, blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven. That's me and you. That's me and you. In Psalm, my final Psalm, 103, verse 1, praise the Lord, O my soul, and all my inmost being praise his holy name. You know, there's times in life that we don't feel like celebrating. Praise is not celebrating something that has happened. It's praising something that God has done and that he is doing and he is going to do. When we take our eyes off of us and we put them on him, the mountain becomes the molehill. It becomes smaller than what it is. When we start to praise, when we start to give him thanks, when we start to say, Lord, soften my heart, and compassion comes in, forgiveness comes in also. And we start to see a power that we are not told about very often. We start to praise his name. Praise the Lord, my soul. Forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all your sins. So there's times in our lives where we could feel that we have nothing to celebrate. Well, we do. We can celebrate the fact that our sins have been forgiven. You see, the Psalm and Proverbs, you look through Scripture, it talks about forgiveness. It's good for our bones. It's good for our body. It's nourishment for who we are. People wear their life on their faces. They do. You can tell if someone's under immense strain and struggle. You can see it on their faces. There's people that will look at me at some days and go, I thought you was a lot younger. No, they look at me sometimes and they go, are you okay? And I go, yeah. They say, well, you don't look it. Because they can see strain on my face. Unforgiveness will manifest in our bodies. It will cause us pain. So when we forgive, when we choose to forgive, we're bringing healing to ourselves. We'll bring a compassion. And then what will happen is we will see what God sees, the potential in that person. Forgive all your sins and heals all your diseases. Who redeems your life from the pit. He crowns you with love and compassion. So that story about the father standing waiting for the son, it says he had compassion on him. But what it doesn't say is it doesn't use the word forgiveness, but forgiveness was there. And there's a real starkness about what the father did and what the son did. The action of the father and the action of the son. You see, the son had everything that belonged to the father, but he wasn't content because all he could see is what the younger son had wasted. But for you and me, if we grab hold of the power of forgiveness, if we grab hold of what God has done for us, if we grab hold of that power, so often in life, I believe this to be true for most Christians, they want to see the power of God manifest in their lives. Lord, I want to pray for this and see it happen. Lord, I want a supernatural impartation of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I want to see you move. Be compassionate, be forgiven. But we don't see the power in that. We don't see the power in the quiet life. As I said last week, it's worth a listen again. As I said last week, when we are who God's called us to be, we're salt and light. We are the light in the darkness. You'll walk into a room and it will change. How do I know that? Because Christ in you. See, where there is light, there can be no darkness. Yes, it may seem dark, but there is light because of you. See, there's power in that quiet life. There's power in just doing the daily things you do. Just getting up, just going to work, and doing the things God calls you to do. Just looking after your relatives, looking after your family, looking after the stranger in the street. There's power, and there's also power in forgiveness. So I want to encourage us as we close and pray that we would walk in the power of forgiveness and see it as a power. That Lord, and if you need help, be like the apostles. I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. I want to forgive. Help me. There's nothing wrong in being honest with God, saying, Lord, I'm struggling with this person because this is what they've done, this is what they've said, this is what they deserve. And let God minister to your heart afresh by reminding you of what he's already done for you. Now, he's not going to say, if you don't forgive, I'm going to take away my salvation. Salvation is secure. But I want to suggest that if we walk in the power of forgiveness, we'll walk in the power of compassion. And compassion compound, when we break it apart, simply means this. I see what you see, Lord. I feel what you feel, Lord. My heart for them is because of your heart for me. See, compassion is not pity. Compassion is an emotion that is powerful. When we show compassion on somebody, possibilities open up. So let's walk in the power of forgiveness. Father, help me, help us to be forgiving. Lord, to leave you to take care of the things you need to take care of. Lord, the unfairness at times, the inaccuracy of what people may say at times, the venom that we can suffer at times, the distress it may bring to us at times. We want to give it to you. Give us a heart of forgiveness that we may walk in the power of compassion, that we may see with your eyes, feel with your heart, and always be willing to give an answer, because salvation belongs to you. So we ask, Father God, that today, knowing that we're forgiven, you would help us to walk in that power. And Lord, I want to pray for anyone in the room that struggles with their salvation. That, Lord, they've prayed the prayer, they've said, I'm a sinner, Lord, forgive me of my sin, but they're not sure of salvation. Well, that's the strategy of the enemy, Lord, that comes to rob. Lord, remind them afresh that if they've asked for forgiveness, you have forgiven them. That you have the robe of righteousness and the shoes, the sandals of the gospel is for them. That you say, see, I set before you in the presence of your enemies a table, come and eat. There is a festival, there is a celebration, and it's for you. So, Lord, I pray for anyone who struggles with their forgiveness, that you would remind them that you've forgiven them. We ask this in Jesus' name, and God's people said, Amen.